Blog Talk Radio.
Yo. What are you right? Hello?
Yo.
So, were you unwrapping yourself? Unwrapping paper? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm getting frustrated with these damn earphones. It took me almost 30 minutes to try to unravel them.
Oh. Well, good luck.
God, you would think these things is 3 feet long. You would think it was 3 feet long if it was taking me so long to get these loose.
Cord. You gotta. I've learned over the years you gotta have proper cord management. Cause like cords, like if you don't tie it up right, then when you try to undo it, it's just all over the place. And then sometimes even you try to do it right. This is why I believe in twist ties. This is why I firmly believe in twist ties. Yeah, twist ties, yeah. Yeah, some people, they're twist tie haters, but I believe in twist ties.
Yeah.
Twist ties are good.
And I can't do that other thing with them loose ear pod. I can't do that because I be done lost both of them, so.
I don't really trust those because, to me, it's just like it's frying your gray matter. Like all that stuff, just going to your ear, that Bluetooth or that, wireless stuff. Yeah.
Right.
I don't trust that. I don't really trust
that. Yeah, and I'm crazy enough already. I don't need all that.
Yeah. You don't need to be walking around with the cat around your neck, the cat queen. Anyway, what up, everybody? What's going on? It's Big Red and Brother B, another episode of The Menu in the House. Guest calling number is 347-324-3395. That's 347-324-3395. The menu on Blog Talk Radio. What up? What's going on? Red, how was your Thanksgiving? How was your holiday?
Holiday. It was fine. Just had fun, went to my niece's house and, laughed it up with dad and my son's harassing him about I don't know what, just his grandson's harassing him about whatever.
Oh, okay.
Chopping it up with him, but it was nice. And how was your holiday?
Well, forget mine, because we got to find out from Lady T what was going on with that jerk salmon.
I made it. I sent Brother B a picture of it.
Had a nerve to send me a picture.
Why ain't getting no picture of the jerk salmon?
It was a picture under the post. It was a picture under the post and she was asking about it. Yeah, you can still see it on there.
But you know what I'm saying? She just threw that out there like nan nan nan. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, word. Okay.
Man, jerk salmon. Right. That sounds good too.
Yeah, I know. That's all right.
Your mouth
was
watering when you saw the picture. Your mouth was watering, Brother B.
Yeah, I was like, yo, what's... You could have me a fork and some biscuits. Some bait or something to go with that. But no, somebody's just teasing. So I take it your holiday was good, Lady T?
Yeah, it actually went very good, which is good. I don't like holidays. November through January, I'm like in hermit mode, okay? Like, don't tell me nothing about holidays. I don't like it. Only because I have my daughter, that's the reason why I'm like, into holidays. Yeah, if I didn't have a kid, I would still be the same way. I'm My family thinks I'm the Grinch when it comes to holidays. So it's
like, yeah, I don't like Christmas. The hell with it.
Yeah, I can't stand Christmas.
The only holiday I need to be concerned about is my holiday.
Yeah, your birthday.
That's right. That's the only holiday.
Yeah, that's so true.
Okay. That's your story, and you're sticking to it, right?
Yep, that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
No, I was good. Cooked. Ate a little bit, then went to work.
Oh, you had to work for a holiday.
You know how that
goes. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, the grind don't stop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Definitely don't stop.
Byron, this is how she come in.
Hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing?
No, we don't want that.
You sound so fruity right now.
We don't want that. That's not
that's
what we want from Ron.
That's how
we might have to. No, I might have to.
Let him talk like that. Let him talk like that, brother B, for the whole show. Let me see if he can handle.
No,
I bet
you
can't go 1 minute without talking like that.
I will mute him.
Hell no.
I will mute him so bad I might crack my screen. So,
I will never hear the last of it from bro. I never hear the last of it from brother.
So what up? We got Ron, Big Red, Lady T in the house. Episode of the menu. So let's get into it. Black economics. Are we our own worst enemy? Now, me and Red was talking about a couple of things, and Red, if you don't mind, refresh me on why we do it. Why do you want to do this topic?
Well, I said, part of that was, you know, how black people they don't want to associate themselves with being African or, you know, African descent or whatever. And it's like, I don't understand why they have such a hard time with that. You know, some black people have such a hard time with, you know, basically just knowing that that's where your origin comes from. They, you know, they want to be associated with everything else. You know, they'll say, I'm mixed with Spanish, or I'm mixed with this, or I'm this and that, but you don't ever want to see where your origin, you know, your origins are African. Or, you know, if you mention something, or they say something about African, and it's like they turn up the face and turn up the nose and all that stuff. It's like, what do you think you are? Like, where do you think did you come from? Yeah, you're African American. Yeah, you were born here in America, but where did your family, you know, your origins of your ancestors, great grandmother, where do you think you come from? You weren't just born here. I mean, you were born here, but how did generations get here before you were born here?
With that being said, I think this when we started talking about the whole thing of like how there are a lot of people, different ethnicities, but especially our, you know, own so-called African brothers and sisters who do not like, you know, black Americans. So that's when we started getting into the conversation of, like, are we our own worst enemy and, you know, in terms of economics? Because one thing is sad that we don't really seem to support each other like that. I don't know why, but why does it take, like, someone to get shot by a cop in order for us to band together and then wanting to start, you know, Black Lives Matter and, you know, this, that, and the third. Like, it should have been like that all the time. It should be like that every day. We should be supporting, you know, our own businesses and things of that nature, you know, every day, because everyone else does it. So why don't we do it? What you were talking about, I think it comes from just some a region of, like, maybe just self-hate. like, you know, I mean, even our own, you know, stereotype our own, and I guess they don't want to be associated with certain stereotypes because, you know, certain people, whether it be Caribbean or whether it be African, they think that the American black people are lazy, you know, and because, you know, and yeah, I mean, listen, to a degree there is some truth, but then there's some false to it because it's not everyone. You know, just because,
right.
I mean, listen, if I had to, you know, come down Front Street, if I grew up, you know, shitting in a hole or something like that, or I was eating, you know, oatmeal all the goddamn time, when I come to, if I was to go to another country that offered a whole lot, yeah, I'm going to bust my ass to get certain things, you know, that I can get that I didn't have where I came from. So, of course, I'm going to go hard. But, of course, there's, to a degree, there are people that have been living here all their lives that are a little spoiled, and they're used to certain things. So they take certain things for granted, as the way there are other people from other places that don't take things for granted. Because they never have it. So, you know, I mean, you can't throw stones living in a glass house, but, you know, I guess to each his own. It still doesn't explain the fact of how, you know, we supposedly spend the most, but yet we don't... we don't really support one another. We pump all our money into designers, this, this, that, and the third, and we, you know, we don't see a fraction of the action. You know,
right? Absolutely.
I mean, you're
absolutely
crazy.
Anybody
just
else?
And then,
oh,
and then Dr. Ron.
You know, I got.
You know, yeah, we know you got. I know you got something. I already know that. That's why I said, Lady T, go first, because I know you got something wrong. I know that.
No, I'm gonna be respectful and shit. I'm gonna be.
We know you
gonna
be respectful. We know you only know how to be respectful. We know, but
anyway,
I was talking to a friend the other day about this same thing, and it feels like, you know, like we're the most hated, but we hate ourselves the most. You know what I mean? So it's like weird. I don't think I have any hope for us anymore. I'm sorry to say it like that. You know, you have a handful of black people that want to motivate themselves and be better and so forth. But I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore what we're looking for, what we want. I really don't know anymore. If we can't even admit that we're of African descent, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
Right. But I think it's sad. I
really think
you're
fat.
Okay, go ahead, Ron. We waiting for you.
Exactly.
No. But since you said, you know, hey. Being African descent, I mean, like, you got to study. You know what I mean? You got to study. You got to let them know. You know what I mean? A lot for the children and other people.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's grown men that don't, to this day, my age and older and younger, they don't know how to talk to women. Don't know how to talk to black women. So doing business with black people is really foreign. You know what I mean? I deal business with black people, Africans, every week, every 2 days sometimes. I have no problem. I know where the black businesses are. Locals in Harlem, in the Bronx, in Queens, in Brooklyn. I know where they at. You got to want it. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to hand it to you. There are black people out here that are dealing with other black people who have black businesses and passing them green dollars around at least two times. You know what I mean? Two to three times. It's happening. I've seen it. You know what I mean? So, you know, don't get too discouraged. It's here. You have to go look for it. It's not going to be handed to you. The next step of black business, like yo, sister, she this morning, she pulled my coat to what black gay men are doing. There's a brother by the name of Emil Wilbekin, if you're familiar with him. Emil Wilbekin was the editor-in-chief at large of Vibe magazine, created by Quincy Jones and crew. You know, he got fired. He got fired unceremoniously, and the motherfucker came back like crazy. You know what I mean? They only did it. I think they only did it because, you know, everything was going to switch over to digital. But what happens is this dude, what the brother did is James took James Baldwin's narrative story, Native Son. You know, James Baldwin is Rainbow, but he was a brother. He took that and ran with it business wise. He took that shit and was like, he took James Baldwin's narrative and ran with it. Native Son, the title of a story, and that the tape made into a movie was very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a platform for gay black men called Native Son. Now I'm telling you about it because if you see it and the brothers grab you shit up and be like, oh, you might not want to support it based off what it is. But what he's doing is he's not doing anything different than the black woman has done with the white men. The black woman, a lot of black women in the last 5 to 10 years think they're in position of power now because white men have created platforms for black people to support white people's narrative, white supremacy. You dig what I'm saying? So what happens is Native Son, a lot of black women with the Black Lives Matter and the whatever movement they want to put out that the white man supports financially, and they think they're getting something. Black men have to be in position or reposition ourselves so that our black women can come to us and we support them. You know what I mean? We support them.
Right.
We don't support. We black. It starts with black people. It starts with black women. Black women are the teachers of our children. They are the teachers of men. Yeah, first they had their mouth poked out, telling about, brother, you got to treat me this way. But you don't gravitate to black. A lot of black women don't gravitate to black business because of the very mindset some of them have, like it's supposed to be given to you. And a lot of black men that are in black business and some black women that are in black businesses, they know different. So it's like you got to gravitate to it. It's there. And if we don't get on top of it, if we don't get on top of it today, the shit that's coming down the turnpike, you'll never recover again. You'll never.
So how do you lead people into that? How do you lead them into that? How would you lead them into that?
We learn.
Especially if they don't know how or.
I learned early on. You know, you say when you tell somebody you don't do something, you have to tell them what to do. You have to lead by example. If you tell a motherfucker don't buy Gucci, okay, what you got? You tell a motherfucker don't work at Con Ed, okay, what you doing? What you got? You got to replace that with something. So you want people.
How do you do that?
Real quick,
Juan, can I ask you a question? Do you really think this whole thing of white supremacy has anything to do with
it's the effects.
Supporting one another?
It's the effects of white supremacy. It's the effect. Most of today's white people, the young motherfuckers from 40 on down, directly they not doing nothing. But they reap the rewards of what happened 100 years ago, what happened 50 years ago. They reap the rewards of that. And everything else by us pushing, like I'm watching BET on mute, and Procter & Gamble commercials, these Con Ed commercials, these L'Oreal commercials, they're pushing slaves. They're pushing our people.
But why,
that are
but
pushing
why would you watch BET? Why would you watch BET and they owned by Viacom?
Brandy was performing. I wanted to see Brandy perform.
He said Brandy was. But you know what?
And you know what? And you know what? It has to start somewhere. Like me, I refuse. I don't care what I'm missing. I refuse to watch anything
I'm the person that still doesn't use the Viacom anymore. Viacom got exposed.
You guys do know that there's other channels that you may watch or other networks that you may watch, and they may be racist too, but they're just not exposed. They're pretty much all. Like, why do we act like racism isn't there?
All right.
You
so it might be a,
you know,
listen to me,
is?
Brother B. It might be the car that you own, that company. You're going to trade that car in tomorrow? Might be racist.
You know?
There are, there, listen, you got to understand. Listen.
If I
you got
to
understand what racism
I might have to.
You got to understand what racism is. You take out the hate. Take out the hate. Just take it out for a minute.
But how can you?
But take it out for a minute.
Sometimes.
We did that since day one, baby. You listen to the story of the Elohim of the Bible. They killed each other and had fights in heaven, and it was all black. So imagine what you know what we're going to do here. The whole thing is being of the holy religious thing and all of those things. The whole thing is being better people to each other. When we're better people to each other, we can do anything. You dig what I'm saying? So we have to be around each other. That's how black businesses flourish. Negroes get money and then want to lead a hood. Fix up the hood. Then you got a reason to bitch and moan. You understand what I'm saying?
I agree with that.
Yes, but sometimes that doesn't work because, for instance, I'll give you an example. I'm not going to even shout it out in a certain area of Brooklyn.
Fuck it.
I mean, I don't really want to. Everybody knows that Brownsville is like
the way it's built
in Brooklyn. The way that it is structured, it is structured for black failure. We already know that. People that
beautiful
live in that community will tell you that. I don't know what women you checked out there, but anyway, not talking about the women.
Oh, God.
back, let me get back on track before you send this
Howard and Crosby. Howard and Crosby, I'll say no more.
Oh, God.
But whatever the case is that I don't like about it, let's say if black businesses are built there, they won't employ people that work in the community. They will tell you that. They're not employing them due to the fact that they're scared that it'll be like inside robberies or whatever the case may be. Because
these
are the things that we have to face. So you have to understand sometimes why people get out the hood, why they work so hard to get out the hood. Because
how
you still have people that – hold on, listen. You still have people in the hood that just want to be there forever and forever, and they okay and they content with the niggerish shit. And you got to remove yourself from that when you work so hard to build yourself. I'm sorry. You can't keep building on. You can't keep building in this dirty soil that's not even trying to be fertilized and watered and to plant these seeds. You can't even.
I hear you. You're right.
It's a lose-lose situation.
Why? Yes, it is, because why leave the hood? Anywhere you go, you a nigga. So I don't care if you go to Beverly Hills. You leave Oakland. You leave Watt to go live in Beverly Hills, to go live in Baldwin Hills, or you leave Brownsville, you leave the Bronx, you leave South Bronx to go live on Fifth Avenue, you still a nigga. And our people have to. I don't mean it in a negative connotation, but I'm like, yo, you still who you are. You can't fake who you are.
So
I don't care how much education you
got.
I don't care how much education you got.
But they change the environment. That's a mental. It could be mental trauma
that they
dealt with in the hood. You get what I'm saying? Why a lot of people leave.
And look at OJ.
Oh, we're not talking about OJ.
You're right. I'm not black, I'm OJ.
But didn't he say that I'm not black, I'm OJ?
Look at Michael
Jackson.
Yeah, look at Michael Jackson.
Don't be talking about Michael.
Don't
look at
Michael
Jackson.
Yeah, Michael.
Look at Michael.
You're trading on Shady Ground, brother.
Whatever. Ron, I gotta ask you a question. So what you said, and you made a valid point, and Lady T made a valid point, Red made a valid point. So with all that being said, whether you want to talk about certain things that affects white supremacy, or you know, certain things we just built, you know, for us to fail, yada yada yada. My whole thing is, so why do we continue?
Because we're afraid.
Dance with the devil.
You dance with the devil because that's the. Because you're afraid. You're afraid. What happens? But you're afraid of nothing. You're afraid of nothingness. You're afraid. Oh, if I don't go work for the white man, I can't work for nobody. What's going to happen when you got to go work for Asians? Oh, my God. And that's coming.
It just sounds like you're still in a slave mindset, so that's what it sounds like to me. So
Yes. I don't care if you went to Harvard, Yale, and Columbia and graduated cum laude, whatever, and you're the best shiny Negro ever. And an example of what white people consider, you are a credit to your race. You are still a nigga in their face. It don't matter how much money you got. I don't care how much sports you play. I don't care how educated you are, what you know how to do.
Okay.
That would
so why are we still? So why are we still dancing with them? And so we keep talking. You mentioned the fear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's been 400 plus years. 500. Like when are we going to get over that? Like I said, why does it take for George? Wait, hold on. Why does it take for George Floyd or Breonna Taylor situation to happen for all of a sudden black people want to start supporting each other? Black, like I said, Black Lives Matter and everything else. Why does it take somebody to die and the force to get the message?
We've been supporting. We've been supporting each other. There's some black people.
But let me tell you this. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Go.
I was going to say, the only thing I was going to say about that is, you know what I think it is? I don't think it's that we let them in. Sometimes they push their way in.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they force their way in. I'll say, even like I said, with the Black Lives Matter, it's like they force their way in somehow. Or it starts off like, oh, well, we're just going to help out a little here and then. The next thing you know, here come 30 of them. You know, it's like you know, the ant. Like, the ant see that one crumb, and then here come the whole damn colony, you know, for that one little crumb. But I think that's what it is. I think a lot of times, I don't think that black people don't want that outside, you know, the outsiders to come in. But, you know, sometimes they force them their way in.
And they force their way in when they see it working for the black people. When it works,
right,
it's
yeah,
working
right,
in their favor.
Right.
Have you ever seen them not force their way in when it's an opportunity for the change?
Exactly. Yep, absolutely.
I give you a good example. New York on the cover. What's that, Law and Order? Who's the tall guy with Eames? Who's the cop? The tall guy. Real tall. He was slim, but he got his last name is Garofalo or whatever. What's his name? The tall
Which
dude.
Which one are you talking about?
The one was just Eames. Whatever Eames
There's
is.
So
at.
Many.
Nah.
Yeah.
But it's the one. I think it's the one with the not special unit. Not with Ice-T. The other one with just the two.
You talking about criminal intent?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Criminal intent.
With the big guy, you know, the tall, he's real
tall. Yeah, the
tall
guy, yeah, something Garofalo, whatever his name is, yeah.
You see how, you want to understand how some white people are? Watch that motherfucker. Watch how he, like, and he's, like, big. He's, like, 6'5", 6'6", he's real big. So he's in a room, and he's talking to a potential suspect for a crime, and he's just all intrusive. He gets in your face. He gets in your space. He sits down and eat at your table. That's how white people are. That's how they do. And you never see them coming. He's one of them cats you never see coming. He come with a smile. Yeah, he got a gun, but, you know,
that's
comes
not
across.
True. That's not true.
That's
not that's true.
How they
a
do.
Lot of, listen, we, listen, you mm-hmm. think, listen, most of us are in the system. Most of our people are in the system. They know how they coming, but yet they still keep doing, some of them keep doing the same dumb shit. Perpetuating the stereotype and putting themselves in these positions. So some of us can't really say or make excuses and be like, oh, this is them, or y'all didn't know this, or you didn't know that. I mean, we do. And, you know, a lot of them think it's a joke. This is why we can't get anything. This is why we have no economic power, because we're too busy trying to be bosses with 5 cents in our pocket, thinking that what's on TV is real. It's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody trying to be a Scarface or a John Gotti. And at the same time, yo, you think John Gotti give a fuck about a Negro? Hell no.
John
Gotti never give a fuck. You think these same cats that you're trying to be like, don't give a damn about no black people. So why are you trying
exactly.
to imitate them? Why are you trying to imitate them? Why?
They imitate them because
you know,
there's nothing else.
I don't understand. Even these some of these dumbass rappers that make all this money or pretend to make all this money, they're doing nothing but hurting. all of us.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing nothing but hurting all of us. All the shit that they're saying, you know, stereotypical BS. Meanwhile,
they're happy. They're happy
schools and all those types of shit.
They're happy with nothing. You know what I mean? Because they didn't have nothing before, so now they got a little more than they have a little more than what they had, and they had nothing. So you got a little more than nothing. So a little more than nothing to them is everything.
No, not these new ones. No, these new ones come. No. I just explained that to both my friends the other day. These new rappers, they're not hungry for. See, the rappers of our time was hungry for. These new ones come in with this money, so they already spoiled. They already got, you know, they already.
Well, they were hungry. They were hungry because they were actually artists. They were artists.
Yeah, that's
now
what I mean.
Somebody throws them a couple of bucks to sound like somebody else, and then it's
absolutely
all gone.
Absolutely. Because if you think about it, like I said, our rappers are our time. Like I said, you know, some of the rappers, they were like, you know, listen, so-and-so is trying to give me this amount of money. I'm not taking that money from them. And then a lot of them seen how they seen other rappers got messed up over the, you know, over these, you know, these some of these producers. I mean, not producers, big record executives. Of course, they were white, trying to profit off of our pay. So a lot of them didn't want to associate with them like that. So, you know. But these young, you know, these new ones now, they go to anybody. They don't care. Oh, I would just sign this, and you go, you know, we give you an advance, and we do this and we do that. And they come, like I said, they're coming in with their own money. And you know, they see that and like, oh, okay, well, you know what? We can make you more. We can double what you got.
But you know what?
Yeah,
they come in with that.
That's
a fallacy.
Yeah,
I mean,
that signing bonus that they give them.
That's a fallacy. Yeah, they give them chicken bones.
Mm-hmm.
They give them chicken bones.
But
they
expect
happy,
them,
happy,
they
happy,
expect
happy
them
with,
when they give it
nothing.
To them to flip it. And in the way
happy
that
with,
they flip it, they have to be
nothing.
A freaking minstrel show. You understand
right.
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that's why they come in there like, oh, I don't even want to say his name, Tekashi 6ix9ine. Take him for instance.
Ugh. Gosh.
No,
they marketed
him
like back in
he
the day
count.
Was like Rainbow Bright. He does count because this is
no.
my point that I'm making.
He ain't
okay,
one of
well,
us.
Let's talk about one of us. The young man, God rest his soul, that just passed, Young Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
The kid has talent, but it's like you need the extra parents. You need to hold all these bands of money. I could say that for the rapper Moneybagg Yo, too. I'm thinking you too grown, my man, with 9 kids, whatever the case may be.
Oh,
and you still got to
floss
with the band. Like, I'm tired of seeing the bands. Your music is all right. Tired of seeing the bands, though. That's so corny to me.
Right.
We get it. Are you? And another thing that I don't like that annoys me, because this is one of the reasons why God rest his soul too, Pop Smoke died. Like I'm saying, too many God rest their souls on these black rappers
right
now.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the name, Omari or whatever, Audemars, whatever he sings in his song, he's always talking about that. That was like the last package he got on his live or whatever the case may be. But I'm wondering, did these people help pay your funeral? Are these same, you know, name brands that y'all be shouting out when you get into something, are they going to put up some money for you? Are they going to make
right,
you their model?
Exactly.
You understand
actually,
what I'm saying?
Actually,
like, you have to look at it.
Kristen
Dior actually put up something on Fifth Avenue for him.
Yeah, but
are you supporting his family?
Like
are
his
y'all
family.
Doing anything like that? Because to put up something on Fifth Avenue for him, you really marketing your product, Christian Dior.
Yeah.
Let's be serious. As many times as he hollered Christian
yeah,
Dior
you know,
in your song, you understand what I'm saying? That don't mean nothing. That benefits Christian Dior because he's actually capital. You know how many people love Pop Smoke?
Yeah.
I met him.
My brothers knew him. Well,
yeah.
I knew him when he was younger, like met him when he was younger, didn't pay it no mind, and now I'm like, hold up, this is the same kid. Nice kid.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he's very nice, man. It was I met him at the strip club. I worked at the strip club. Well,
hold on,
no,
I was
Asian.
Thinking
and,
I'm thinking usage of his image.
Fuck.
That garners some type of payment. You know what I'm saying? Like they're using his pictures and his image to you know, whatever. So, I mean, it has to sell their clothing.
Like I said, it benefits them. It doesn't benefit his family. You know what I mean, Brother B? It does not. It's really sad.
And Christian Dior himself, he hated black people. The last thing he wanted to do was have a black woman in his shit. But he buckled. He buckled and made millions more behind it.
Right. He buckled for the dollar. He covered it up for the dollar. He still don't like black people.
That's the sad part. And that's the sad part. That goes into what we're talking about as well. As in, we put in all this, well, not us personally, but, well, you can say us, because we put in money into certain things that, you know, like I said, a lot of times it's like you said, the marketing behind it, it's why we buy it. A lot of these, like I said, a lot of these people in these marketing teams, like I said, a lot of them are not us. A lot of them don't look like us. So guess what? They're only going to market off of what they see. And as like that, okay, this design, my son came to me one day and asked me, Mom, well, how much is a handbag supposed to cost? And I'm like, I don't know, because I don't really, you know, I like handbags, but there's certain kinds that I like, and I don't like all that popular stuff that them other females wear, that other craziness. So he's telling me, well, there's this bag called, what's it, Baccarat, somebody, and I looked online at the bag, and this is a $1,000 to $2,000. Balenciaga, that's what it is. I see a lot of the young ladies, they talking about this bag, and it's like, wait a minute, you don't even live someplace to be affording that type of bag. That, you know,
but is it a real one? Because you got fake ones that look really good. Fake ones that look really good, just so you know.
I've never been into,
I've never been into those type of bags. You got Goyard bags, those cost millions too.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But it's like those types of, like, just like you said, that bag. Now what will happen is let one of those female rappers or some one of them guys in that song mention that bag. Next thing you know, the girl asks, well, baby, you know, you give me $40 and maybe I can get one of them bags, but I'll have to have sex with you 45 million times to get that one. But you know, you're
$45 million. I don't want to
$45 million. So it's just like, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, once those rappers know, say one of those names, the next thing you know, they out there or they have on an outfit or something like that. So it's like they know where they're making their money from, and it's sad that once again, black, you know, like our people are always paying the price for that. Because guess what? Think about it. What happened to Carl Kanaz? What happened to Baby Fat? What happened to Fat Farm and all those black
Russell Simmons sold the company. Jay-Z sold his Rockerware company. Carl Kanaz sold the rights. He sold licensing rights. You can get licensing rights. He made a comeback in the last 4 to 5 years. Carl Kanaz is still here. He's like the godfather. He's one of the godfathers. He's one of the godfathers of urban fashion. Not really a nice guy, but he's fun. He's cool. But he's back out here. He's around, you know, and there's a lot of cats.
Sean
that,
John.
Like,
what happened to Sean John?
He's
the rap too around Rockaway.
No.
Rockaway
stole this shit. That's why you got airplanes.
We don't support each other. No matter how you cut it, it's not designer.
No,
it's not runway stuff. We don't support it.
That's what I'm saying.
There's a thing like with Rockaway. I know some guys that work there, and I respect Jay. And yeah, he makes big people shit. So yeah, I'm a buyer. I bought it. But as soon as he sold the company, I'm like, I'm not fucking with him. I'm not fucking with anybody else that was black and sold that company. And I don't understand. He got Fruit of the Loom. As long as anybody has been on his phone, Fruit of the Loom and Hanes been around for 100 years. You dig what I'm saying? I don't understand.
Oh, well, they make good underwear. What you mean? They make quality underwear.
But it took some time.
I love some Fruit of the Loom, especially my Hanes underwear. Please, listen.
Oh, really?
What's
that?
Do not get him started.
But for real.
Now, I can say right now, in terms of that now, Fenty, which is with Rihanna, I can't stand her, but I like her stuff. I have a few things for her. Now I would support
and
her.
It's priceable. It's a good price.
Right, it's
she made
them good
price.
Very priceable. Mm-hmm. And they make it for the larger ladies, and that's what I like. But hopefully, I hope that she keeps that going for a long time. I hope it stays around for a long time because it's black owned.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? We just have to try to support. That's the only reason. That's the main reason why I'm supporting it as well, because you know what? She's black. She's doing her thing. And I hope she be as big as, like, Victoria's Secret. I hope she be bigger than that. I hope she gets bigger than that.
Well,
now I got a question for y'all on the panel because, okay. For instance, I have a friend that, she has like a body oil company that she just started.
She wears Fruit of the Loom too. She wears Fruit of the Loom.
So it's very amazing when she was promoting it. I remember like in June or whatever, and it's only like a few of us. Like we know she was doing this for a long time. She did her lipstick line before, very good. She still has that, but you could tell the fade out and with who actually supported her this time around. And it's like she has to go extra hard. Like everybody knew she wanted to do this for a long time and things like that. She finally has it done. It's really good product. And it's like I noticed like the friends that supported with the lipsticks and stuff like that, they didn't support right now with this. Many months.
Okay.
It's almost, 6 months since she had
it
out. So that's another thing. Like sometimes
this is the last call for me.
Oh, God, what happened?
Yeah.
I don't know who that was. That's why I'm like.
That's spooky.
What else did you say? You keep going.
Oh, no, I was finished because Brother B was about to say something. Oh, I had to say,
okay.
You know what, Lady T?
Real quick,
what I was gonna say was, it's not hot until white people touch it. Then black people are gonna go for it. Sadly.
You can't. That is true. And like how you see with like say like Revlon or L'Oreal, they brought up all kind of black shit that came out in the '90s. They bought it in the early 2000s. They brought up all kind of shit. And I mean like there's a company that broke my fucking heart. Excuse my language. Broke my heart. Nubian Heritage. Nubian Heritage, Shea Moisture, sold out to Unlisted. So I think $20 million maybe? $20, $25, $30 million? It broke my heart. I've been selling, like, as a vendor, I've been selling using as though it was the Holy Grail, Shea Moisture, Nubian Heritage, since 1999. When I started out on the street selling and vending, I started with Nubian Heritage. Then with incense and oil. You understand what I'm saying? So speaking to the African brother the other day, he was the one that told me, because he speaks to the owner, like the owner who used to own Nubian Heritage, Shea Moisture. He told me. And then he said, it really hurts because he used to get it wholesale and sell it to me. So what happens now, we jammed up. Well, we got to look for another black-owned company that makes good soaps that we can sell, we can take, use, give to each other, and sell to everyone else. You know, and the company that bought out Nubian Heritage, now did this. It's called Unlisted. Now, Universal something. Their symbol is a U. And what happens is they own and facilitate about 100 products in four different categories, 150 products, four different categories globally. They are the company that makes the most, they are the only company that produces the most soaps in the world. In the world. I mean, they got a Uni India, the company that bought Nubian Heritage, the black-owned company. they own, they got companies in India, they got companies in Thailand, they got companies in London, because they're from London. They got companies in America, Union something in America, Union. There was somebody, I think there was an American company or some company that was going to buy them. Now, every year they gross $53 billion. $53 billion they gross. They're going to pay $53 billion. There was a company that came, I don't know where the freak they came from. I think America or whatever. I don't know. They was going to buy the company for almost $200 billion. Almost $200 billion. You know what they say? We're not selling. These guys, every year, we make, and it makes sense. We make $53 billion a year, which comes out to be 69 million euros or pounds a year, whatever it's cost. We're not, if we make that a year, we make, I better get back with that $200 million. We're not selling nothing. And this company's been around since 1929. And they started, that money started kicking in the 1980s. So imagine from the 1980s, when these people acquire businesses, they acquire, so they're like vultures. They acquire businesses, flip it, dip it, make it good, make it better, and sell off portions of it. These people own Jiffy Peanut Butter, baby. They own Jiffy Peanut Butter. Jiffy Peanut Butter is an American company that they bought in 1980 something. They bought them for $10 million. They bought Jiffy Peanut Butter. No, Jiffy Peanut Butter and something else. They bought Procter & Gamble, because Procter & Gamble makes Jiffy Peanut Butter, and they bought them for like $25 million. So they bought them for $25 million. 8 to 10 years later, they sold it for $70 million, Procter & Gamble.
Wow.
Just the peanut butter. You think what I'm saying? It's just, you have to start a business. In order for black business to work, you have to start a business based on what we need. You have to see yourself as part of the community. If you're a part of the black community, you say, hey, what can I do to make something for us, by us, for us to use that we can sell to everyone else? And we benefit the
profit. FUBU. I'm sorry. When you said that, I thought about FUBU. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But it's real. So to make something for us, by us, so we can live for and by us. And we ain't got to worry about nobody else. And the Chinese don't worry about this, because Mao Zedong in 1950, this is why his picture still stands in modern-day China today, because if it wasn't for this man doing what he did to make the sacrifice for what he did in the 40s and in the 50s, China wouldn't be where they are today. China, and what China did, you read that little book, Chairman Mao's little book of speeches. I got it right here on my desk. Chairman Mao, Mao Zedong, quotations from Mao Zedong. You read that little red book with a gold star on it. Read that book, and it's real harsh to read. It's real hardcore. And what it is like, we, you know, these motherfuckers, they were eating rice. They was eating rice. They was eating mice. You know what I mean? But
how you gonna say they was eating rice and they was eating mice?
Yeah.
Yes. They was doing it. They were. Study the history of China. The sacrifices they made. So keep in mind, in 1955, they had 350 million people there. Today we got 350 million people in America. So you go back to 1955, 350 million people. How do you feed 350 million people? So about 1955 to 1995, they had 1 billion people. 1.1 billion people. 1995. Do you understand what's going on here?
I get it, but why are we concerned about them? Who cares about
because
them?
Because they made. Because
what is our plan moving forward?
Listen. Because they made a sacrifice. One of the sacrifices their story is our story, because they got their stuff from us. Just like Caucasians, if we're the original people, we are.
Sorry
we
to cut you up, Ron. I got to. Should we be eating mice and rice? What should we do? Tell us what we should do.
No. We should cook. We should eat out less. I know that. We should eat out less. Cook home more. So by then we starve out these brands, these food companies. That's the sacrifice you make. That's a sacrifice you can make that won't hurt you.
But how are we going to start about the brands, because we still have to go to the supermarket and shop there?
No,
now we're spending our money on the other brands.
Listen, what
you're saying with that. I agree with that, with the restaurants.
The restaurant, because a lot of that stuff ain't healthy no way. You know what I mean? Only poor people could eat there. If you ever sat in Popeye's and see the people, just sit. Don't buy nothing yet. Just sit. You sit and you watch the people that go there like, oh my God, they shake for me. Some of these people, I would shake their hands. Then you go to Whole Foods in Harlem and you sit and you watch the people who go there. They look a little healthier, a little younger. Like, oh, she's cute. Like, oh wow. You know, the people are floating around that smorgasbord food that they got there, that food's different, it smells different, the people look different. You think I'm saying? They look a little healthier. You think what I'm saying? And the people sell food there. The same food that you see there, they sell there. You know what I mean? We spend out money, starve these restaurants out. Get them out. Don't tell them to leave. Boycott them. I think that's what happened during the COVID. Mm-hmm. Boycott them. Yeah. Because what's going to happen is COVID is setting us up. It's just like 9/11. 9/11 set us up to be where we are today. COVID is going to set us up in another 10 to 20 years. We're going to be really jammed up. So if you think it's bad now, you wait till it comes down the pipe, baby. 9/11 gave them reason to encroach, to go further into being nosy.
Our civil liberties.
But
on that note, and with that being said, once again, how do we sit around and talk about how we bosses? We got this, we got that. I mean, I guess those are the ignorant Negroes, but we still, you know what I'm saying, once again, dancing with the devil. We still having the whirlpool over our eyes. I mean, like,
China,
you know, when...
China,
but see, they
China
know,
dance.
But that's what I'm saying. They know that we have to depend on them. They know it.
They're going to keep... If we don't do nothing
How are we the trendsetters have to depend on someone else?
You a trendsetter to them because you pushing their shit. You know what I mean?
Are we really trendsetters? That makes me wonder. I think that we are,
but you know what? Like I said, let me go back to my original, what I started with. Once again, if I'm telling the person, if the person is saying, oh, that person's from Africa, and I say, well, we're all African, and you busy saying, oh, no, we're not. That's where it starts right there. Because you have to, why do I have to convince you of something that you should already know?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to convince you of that? Why do I have to try and almost get into, an argument, or why is it that it's so damn hard for you to just say, yes, you're right, I am African. I'm African-American.
A lot of us believe in whitey because these generations of our children, Smokey Robinson, there's generations of our children that this is all they know. They think this is it. So a lot of them, they don't, especially from the 70s, a lot of them just started to understand in the last 10 to 15 years about what it is to be black, what it is connected to. But this new generation, and this new generation, like my daughter and them, they're like, they look at you like, my nigga, you got to show up walking cool. You dig what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I believe you when you show up walking cool.
But see,
if you ain't showing and proving, I'm not moving. You dig what I'm saying?
I'll talk about somebody that, you know, like I said, this person is an older generation person, like born like maybe in the 60s, and it's just like, I say that you're probably conditioned, but at this point, aren't you, you know, don't you see why we're not moving forward? My thing is, all people, it's like, why don't you see this is why we're not moving forward? That's part of the problem of why we're not moving forward.
Because you just refuse to budge.
We're not moving forward because a lot of us are not doing anything. You know what I mean? A lot of us are still believing somebody's gonna give us something. And them dudes,
right.
them dudes from the '60s, them cats from the '50s, they was like they're comfortable.
They are.
And if you see certain parts of Africa, even if you see the good parts, they're so conditioned to be dependent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is it. Trust all that other shit. That, you know what I mean? And these are the same ones that push the same thing. When they're talking about people go to vote, go vote. Knowing that black people have never achieved anything or gotten anything from voting. They have never gotten nothing from voting. Never. Not even a dinner or a steak meal. You know what I mean? It's like you go to them things. I've been to some of these functions, man, where you pay $2,000 a plate, $1,500 a plate, $2,500 a plate. And they're Democrats, baby, raising money so they can go against each other and talk the bullshit. It's like, yo, you have to do something. You can't wait for somebody else to do it. I say China. I keep saying China and China because China is doing a lot of shit.
You need to just move out to China. Just move out to
China.
No, I'm telling you from a perspective of, because they're going to be the new white people. I'm telling you. It was an elder.
You know what?
I
just thought about that after this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I ain't going to China. There was an elder. Mm-hmm. There was an elder.
They ain't
got to
go. They're
going to
be here.
They're already here. There was an elder.
They're already here, rather.
In 1992, that they were going to be the new oppressor. And it's 2021. They are making all kind of moves. They already produce shit. Wherever they build, that's where they live. If they build in Africa, if they have ports, they're building ports in Africa in Djibouti. They gave Djibouti $1 billion to build a port in Africa. And you know what's coming over there? They're gonna have ships to deliver over there. This is Africa. Over the crown of Africa, between Saudi Arabia, Sudan, Ethiopia, Somalia. Yo,
but whose fault is that?
That's right there.
Okay, so whose fault is that? The so-called Africans
that don't
like us.
It's not about fault.
Because why are we accepting their help? Why are we accepting their help? You're talking about the motherland that can make that self-sustainable. Yeah, well, but wait a minute. Those are the same them that Red was talking about that talks junk about the American black, but yet look at them. You giving up
a lot of Africans, a country,
so they can expand their territory.
This is
my thing. I got to call a spade a spade, man. I got to call a spade a spade. Whether it's American Negro or it's an African Negro, I got to call
I'm
a spade a spade. Get off that bullshit. We don't need nobody because we got each other. And that is my issue. And the reason for this topic is like, why? Why do we have to keep dancing with the devil?
I'm gonna tell you
why. We don't.
I'm
gonna
tell you.
I'm
gonna tell you. Black people.
Why?
Black people Black people globally. Black people globally. Black people globally, especially in America, we dance with the devil 12 songs. People like Japan and China, they dance with America one song. And then the rest of the 12, 11 songs, they dance with their own people. You go to places like Ghana, which is really a beautiful place. You go to Ghana, and they see, and other people who are in Ghana from other parts of Africa see Ghana thriving and benefiting from dealing with Chinese. You go to a place like Sudan, where they got Gucci stores and Mercedes-Benz car stores. In northern Sudan, if I'm correct, and the north divided from each other, Sudan is two countries now. Other people from other parts of Africa see that. They see better roads. They see the bullshit. You go to Kenya, it's the same thing. You go to South Africa, you go to Congo, you see Chinese building there. Oh, this is nice and blah 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 blah. Other Africans open the door for them. Old, nasty, old men Africans open the door for them. Those that are in power. The cat in Rwanda, I forget his name, he looks like David Russell, the brother of Kingali. Kinshasa. He in Rwanda. Yo, they open the door for China to come in. They open the door. You know what I mean? These are old men that got a foot in the grave.
But,
that, they don't
but,
give a
but that's what we always do. We always do. See, that's what I'm saying. We always open the door. And it's like, hey, I can turn your quarter into a dollar. All you got to do is sign here. And we give everything up. That's why they always keep getting us, and we always going to stay underfoot because we always looking for the dollar. Meanwhile, they giving us a dollar, and they got $1 million.
These last 4 years,
but
when Trump was in office.
But we caught up in the imagery of talking to I'm this and I'm that and I got this and I got that, when most of your shit is rented or it's fake or it's all a lie. But they ain't
but China
lying,
produces,
they
but China, but China, but China produces in America for the last
listen,
4 years.
Listen,
Trump,
not,
everybody,
listen, not,
everybody,
not,
everybody.
I'm not hating
Trump,
on anybody.
Trump. Everybody was yelling Trump.
I'm
the Obama
not hating
years,
on anybody.
Listen,
but all
last
I'm saying is,
years.
Is that yo, we. I mean, I'm where Lady T is at. Yeah, I kind of just give up. I kind of give up because yo, we have too many resources, too many outlets, and yet we still sticking our hands out. We still begging.
I'm not sticking my hand out, and there are those that are begging. You know what I mean? It's like
and I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you, but
you know what
I'm
mean?
Just saying, like
and
yo,
it's
gotten to a point where it's all this rah rah shit, and then they still kissing ass. You're still kissing
ass because this is all they know. You got people like Puff Daddy. You got Puff Daddy and them. That like every time like the voting shit come around.
But Ron, I said it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that somebody got to get shot in the back or shot while sleeping or whatever or a knee in the fucking neck in order for black people to just all that's what it takes? Is that what it takes to get our attention? You see what I'm saying? Nothing else. It's only got to be violence that gets our attention.
And get our stuff together.
Exactly. But it always has to be some type of violent act to either get our attention or stereotypically put us in that situation where we're the aggressors. When we know history tells us, the history of this country tells us that's not true, but it always gets flips on us, and we don't do shit about it. So, once again, it always boils down to that big word of accountability. And it's sad when I have to say, it's sad when anybody has to say, I give up. You know why? Because we're not doing shit to teach this next generation anything of any real worth. How you going to tell these kids out here, T.I. going to say, stop some buying these clothes and that clothes. But then you come out with a song talking about you chilling in the Wraith or something like that. Like, come on, man. You're confused. All these little Negroes are confused.
He ain't confused. As long as he got him, that's that man. I don't like T.I. He's cheap. He's a pussy. I don't like him. I never liked him.
Oh, my gosh. Why are you talking about my boo like that?
Your boo is retarded. Your boo is retarded.
I don't know your boo is retarded.
No. If you can tell something about somebody when your own security don't like you. Your own security.
Stop talking about T.I. expeditiously right now. Come on.
Yeah, whatever it is. He is it. You know what I mean? But your own security don't like you? I've been doing security 30 years. I've been doing bodyguard work for 20 years. I've never heard that. They hate him. They hate him. Every time you see him,
maybe his character changed with, when he got on with, Jay-Z and whatever they doing and stuff like that.
Rock
I think
Nation,
certain
Rock
things
Nation,
went
Rock
over
Nation,
his head.
Rock, yeah. Rock Nation? Nah, whatever. They're going to all be exposed, I'm telling you. You're going to be like, I bought his music? I used to like him? Be like,
I got a lot of T.I. albums. It's ridiculous.
I don't know why. He a snitch. You know what I mean? I can't. And he a Libra?
Oh boy, here we go. Don't get him started with the signs.
but seriously though, a lot of them they push the false, as they say, the false narrative, and it's just like they're pushing white supremacy, and we're buying it wholesale from the very same black people. You know, I said earlier, most black women like here, like that are in the front. White men put them out there. You know what I mean? If the white man couldn't make money from them, if they didn't push white supremacy, they wouldn't be on TV. They wouldn't be in the movies. They wouldn't be on the radio. I'm telling you. You know what I mean? And why would you? I mean, why would I put you out in front and you ain't pushing me up? You ain't bigging me up. What do I get out of that? We have to start thinking like that. You know what I mean? You can't be around white people for free. Be around white people for free for what? You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't have no white friends. I'm broke. You know what I mean? I don't have no. If I ain't making no money, I'm not hanging around with you for what? What are you doing here? That's why I can't talk to white women, because white women bring out the pimp in me. I won't.
You said bring out the pimp in you. Yo, rewind.
Oh, Lord.
You said pimp? P-I-M-P?
Yes, like T.I. said, yes. So listen, this is why I don't deal with them. I don't deal with them.
Oh, Lord.
I don't believe that. I think you low-key pimping them. But
No.
I don't know if I believe you. Look at your tone and your voice, how that changed. No, I got the white girl on the side. No.
I worked in some good clubs. I worked in some serious clubs, and I flipped. People see me flip automatically, like vanilla chick come out of her face wrong. What? Who the fuck is you talking to?
Okay. Anyway, make it subject.
Okay.
Yo. Standing outside doing security at a club online, and they come out of their face wrong. I'll be like, I give you two screens, and that's it. You got to go. You're not coming in the club. You're not coming in the club.
And on that note, any parting statements, you know, on the topic.
I'll say, we have to start like knowing who we are. Stop with the you want to be associated with everybody else and this one and that one. Like let's get back to our origin of who we are, because once we do that, then everything else can fall into place. I feel once some black people start thinking that way, or most of us, then we can, you know, things will fall into place better.
I'm three-quarter Indian.
Well, listen, if somebody says that, And you say African and that, I can deal with that. But don't tell me nothing about, oh, you probably German and all that other stuff. And you know what? Even if you are probably German, once again, how the hell you think you got there? You just you born there in Germany? No.
Praise God.
And that's another thing. Know your history, know your heritage, and teach
it
to the next generation and next generation. That's how we learn.
Absolutely.
We're missing out on
any
a lot of generations. That's
rock?
Another thing, black community, but
We made everybody. We made everybody. But nobody made us. Always remember that. It's simple like that. You want people to understand certain things, you want people to come to where your head is, you be the first one to move forward. That's it.
Okay, so on that note, thank you everyone for your input. This is a,
love you, brother.
A pleasure as
love
usual.
You,
oh, love you too, always, man. Listen, you know you. Listen, oh, you guys, your opinion is always valued. We know. Sometimes, listen, you're an acquired taste, not a common drink, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that, brother. Because if you was a common drink, I'd have to go to another store. But I appreciate you. Brother. You
got common drinks in other stores.
And Big Red, I don't know about you. You suspect sometimes.
You know what?
How you gonna say she says that? That ain't right.
Listen, do you got any jerk salmon left? Any jerk salmon left?
Whatever, it's all gone.
Oh, y'all,
I'll make
y'all
you
celebrate.
Some for your birthday.
Oh, y'all was celebrating. Oh, y'all was celebrating Thanksgiving. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
no,
brother, that's for another show.
No,
don't go
it
there.
It wasn't Thanksgiving. Yeah, but you're about to go into another story. You better go do a story.
You can't love the rain without getting mud on your shoes, baby.
Talking about he be pimping.
Okay.
Go back
I'm
to pimping.
You got,
don't worry
you
about
white
that.
Women, I ain't pimped white women in years. Look, hey, be nice.
Y'all have a good night.
Y'all
yeah,
have a good night.
The can. Catch y'all on Tuesday. Oh, yeah, wait a minute, ladies' night. Tuesday. Tuesday, ladies' night.
Tuesday,
oh, yeah,
Ron, you better
night.
Call
Tuesday.
In for this topic.
Behave, Ron.
That's right.
Tuesday?
Call in.
I'll be quiet. Wait till you see the topic. We need you on this one. That's one of the topics that you can turn up on. I will be posting the topic in the morning.
Yeah,
all right,
whatever.
Y'all have a good one.
All right.
Hey, later, guys. Good night.
All right, later.
Good night.
Peace.
Peace.
The following is a paid message. For chips so iconic, we don't need to name it. No logo, no gimmick, just those red and blue bags with the stuff you love in it. Now, you know the brand. This is 3-Fatty Crunch. It had you trade your buddy for it if they had to pack at lunch. No logo, no name, but it could be tongue. Shake it for clothes on the bag. Love that cheesy, spicy, crispy, crunchy flavor pack that niggas make that rhymes with info. But it has a no logo? With a top-rated app that lets you deposit checks and transfer money anytime, anywhere, banking with Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like...
I'll take that,
even easier than that. Plus, with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, it's a new easy decision. That's banking for you. What's in your wallet?
My journey to natural hair was easy. For now, I feel beautiful. A moisture amplifying blend formulated to nourish curls, coils, and waves, shine, dirt, my hair, my way. Amplify texture from dust.
One thing. Stop running. So be careful what you think. Patients got tricks. All it takes is a check.
Thank you.